It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Brad Bigs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
I got to tell you, pretty good win for the Bears all the way around. I think that we saw them do some of the things you were hoping for. Obviously, after allowing a touchdown in the running game, they kind of shut that down, did okay in that aspect, kept Chuba under 100 yards. I felt like they did open up the passing game. They had the two touchdown passes to DJ Moore. I think there was a nice pass on the sideline to Cole Kmet. You felt like they were able to do some of the things that you've wanted to see them improve upon.
Yeah, absolutely. They took care of business against a really bad football team yesterday, and that's what you expect them to do. And they had guys with strong performances really all over the place. So you would love to see that type of lopsided affair against a division opponent, but you'll take it where you can get it. And on Sunday, it was against the Carolina Panthers. The quarterback played well. The running game was efficient, probably needs a little bit more work. They protected Caleb Williams. They got after Andy Dalton. It was really good across the board. I think they got out of the game again, mostly clean. We don't know about Tevin Jenkins' ankle situation, but you look at how the Bears are at health-wise right now, and you see what's happening to some of these other teams. Like Carolina lost four starters in the game yesterday, right? And they came into Sunday beat up all over the place already. So I think a lot of positives to take out of that as they continue to build a little bit of momentum, try to get better from one week to the next.
So, Brad, Shane Waldron has been through a lot in five games. I thought yesterday was a more representative sample, good balance, and certainly the results speak for themselves. Has he weathered the storm? And if so, how did he do it?
Yeah, I just, five games is still a sample size that's way too small. That's a Panthers team without the hint of a pass rush. They had, one sack yesterday, which gives them grand total of six for the season. A rookie at inside linebacker with a guy who was an undrafted rookie free agent from Alcorn State a year ago. I don't think you can put too much stock in it, but hey, what did Shane Waldron get done yesterday? He did a really fine effort. You saw improvement. You saw a game plan that spread the ball around. Like they had six guys with 22 yards receiving or more. Like it was really, really kind of spread out, four guys with 47 yards or more. So it wasn't just DJ. They did a couple different things in the running game. You've seen him adapt. They've got Doug Kramer in their fullback. Kari Blassingame was a healthy and active for the second week in a row. You saw them turn to Bill Murray at guard when Tevin was hurt instead of Nate Davis. Like they're changing things up, and that comes from what? Evaluating your players on the field during the practice week. To say that Shane Waldron's weathered the storm, I don't know that it was a storm, but that there's a lot to prove for a new coordinator coming in, and I think there's still a lot to prove for him.
Mully and Haw, we are talking to our friend Brad Biggs, and this segment with Biggsy is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. Brad, I think you mentioned Nate Davis, and I just wonder how the offensive line is going to look different. I wonder, they can start bringing some people back from the from injured reserve. They could bring a couple guys back right before the London game, but it doesn't look like they're going to do that. Or are they going
to
do that?
Yeah, I think they've got three guys that are eligible to start the practice window now, and I'd be stunned if that happened for Ryan Bates, Larry Borum, both offensive linemen, and then Jacob Martin, the defensive end. If you were not going to start it for Martin this past week, it just doesn't make any sense to get him practicing this week with the bye week following the London game, because the clock is still ticking on that 21-day window when you're not going to be seeing the players on the field, having a chance to evaluate them, seeing how their bodies respond physically. So I don't think that'll happen. In terms of how the offensive line will look, as best we know now, Tevin's got two injuries he's dealing with. The bruised rib, which had him questionable going into the game. Now the ankle. Is it possible they say, hey, this is a chance to give Tevin 2 weeks to get his body right, and they go with someone else against Jacksonville? Presumably or possibly Bill Murray, after he was the first man up yesterday. I wouldn't rule that out as we sit here Monday. Quite a ways off from the game Sunday against Jacksonville, but it's something to consider.
So Caleb Williams spoke about the wind after the game, and I was a little surprised by that. I don't think it sounded like an excuse necessarily, but was this his introduction to life on the lakefront? That's something he can get used to. And what did you make of his overall day and the progress he made?
Yeah, we talked about the wind, and it's interesting because they've played down there when it's been windier already this season, in terms of if you're just looking at the official registered wind speed at kickoff. It was 7 miles an hour yesterday. Now, you could tell during the game that it was certainly at different points blowing harder than that. I think he felt like the wind affected a couple of passes going toward the boundary. Now, first of all, that speed out to Keenan Allen on the first snap of the game, or the first snap for the offense anyway, that was dangerously close to pick six material for J.C. Horn there. And then on that deep shot down the sideline to Cole Kmet, I think it went for 26 yards. Again, a throw toward the Carolina bench that he felt like the wind kind of knocked that ball down at the end. Because if you looked at that play developing, there's a chance for that to go all the way if Cole can kind of catch that in stride or close to being in stride. So I think it's a learning point for him because, it's so bizarre how the wind works there. You'll think it's going one direction and then all of a sudden it's going another, or at one end of the stadium it is indeed blowing a certain direction, but it's not the same direction at the other end of the stadium. So he hopefully learned a little bit yesterday, and that's something that he can apply when they return home, which isn't for a month, when the New England Patriots, with potentially rookie Drake May at quarterback by then, come to town.
So let's talk about their travel schedule. They're going tonight to London. When are you? Are you going tonight too, Brad? And I'm just curious how you think the schedule is different than the way they've tried to do it in the past.
Yeah, the Bears are taking off as I think maybe around 7 or 8 o'clock. I'm a little bit after that in the friendly skies. The goal is to get their bodies acclimated to playing over there. There's a 6-hour time difference, and Matt Eberflus talked about visiting Italy with his family this summer and how he just kind of felt knocked out for a couple of days because of the travel and time change and getting the body adjusted. So they will have they will be on the ground Tuesday morning in London. That's a standard day off for players, as it would be if they were here in Lake Forest. Wednesday, it sounds like the schedule is to get going with a walkthrough to get the bodies going again, and then regular practices Thursday, Friday, with a standard walkthrough Saturday, and feeling like they are absolutely good with their bodies on London time Sunday when they kick off against Jacksonville. In the past, they haven't gone until the end of the week, where it's been like a short Friday practice, a walkthrough Saturday, and then they play the game. And they defeated the Buccaneers in 2011, I believe it was, the first time they traveled over there. That game was at Wembley, and the last time, 2019, a really poor showing against a Raiders team where the Bears have been so tough against the run, and the Raiders came in and just ran it down their throat with Josh Jacobs. That was the game. I don't know if you guys remember, Matt Nagy said, sometimes my dark side comes out after the game.
He left Kyle Long there, didn't they? Basically, they kicked him off the team after that, Frank. Well, then his last game.
And they soon after that, they learned that if Kyle Long was part of what was wrong with the Chicago Bears at the time, he certainly wasn't all that was wrong with the Chicago Bears.
Well put.
You could look toward the Cody Parkey missed field goal being the thing where things start to unravel for Nagy. But I think more accurately, that Raiders loss was a bad, bad loss for them, and they had a difficult time that season.
Back to the present, Brad. So I'm fascinated by how the Bears use no huddle to their advantage, and I'm listening to people explain it. It's more than just Caleb Williams and being able to maybe stay loose and relax and in rhythm. I think it had a lot to do with to hear Matt Eberflus describe it, the personnel that the Panthers were playing. They caught him in a package that they didn't want them to be able to substitute. And if that's the case, do you see the Bears going more or less to no huddle? Because it seemed to be working.
Well, they used a lot of it yesterday. They had 40 snaps in the first half, 18 no huddle right there, and I believe they had 7 more no huddle snaps in the second half. They kind of got away from it in the fourth quarter when the score was out of hand. But I think it was more who they had at linebacker, the guys that are the traffic cops for the defense, than what package they necessarily had them in. I don't think it was, we don't want the Panthers to be able to substitute between plays here. I think it was looking at it and saying they've got Trevin Wallace, a third-round pick from Kentucky, and Claudin Cherulis, who's the guy from Alcorn State that was undrafted by the Jets and claimed off waivers by Carolina a year ago. Those are the inside linebackers. So stay out of the huddle. Force those guys to try to communicate from that position at the line of scrimmage. You're not necessarily trying to speed the game up or snap the ball in a hurry, but you're putting more pressure on really inexperienced players there, because Shaq Thompson's out for the season.
Yep.
Josie Jewell was inactive with an injury yesterday. And those, the next guys up were guys with just real minimal NFL experience. So I think we'll see it at times when they want to get in tempo. And here's the deal. If you're not cooking, tempo's about the worst thing in the world you want to do. You get your skill position players winded in a hurry, and it's a great way to get your defense back on the field in no time at all if you're not having productive plays. So it's not an answer all the time, but I think Shane Waldron identified it as something that they could use to their advantage because of the personnel situation for the Panthers with the injuries, and it certainly was productive for them in the victory.
Yeah, DJ Moore said it was a way of keeping him in base defense, and that they clearly had an advantage when that was the case. And the Bears defense holding them to 10 points was very impressive considering how quickly they scored to open the game. So, you know, managing to allow them just 3 points the rest of the way underscored a really good performance given how poorly it started.
Yeah, they did a great job of just stifling the Panthers on third down, putting the Panthers in third and long situations. And I felt all along, as well as Andy Dalton had played in the previous 2 weeks with a win at Las Vegas and a competitive showing against the Bengals. I think they put up 24 against Cincinnati. You look at the Raiders and the Bengals right now, and those are two teams that are having very difficult times defensively. The Bears have been much better defensively, and I just thought that it was a situation where the boost that Dalton had provided that offense in replacing Bryce Young wasn't going to be significant in this football game. And while the Bears sacked Andy, I think only 3 times, you could tell he wasn't comfortable. Like the ball was coming out almost immediately because he knew that front was going to struggle to protect him. At one point, early on, he had completed 6 of his first 7 passes, I believe it was, for 8 yards. So
yeah,
there was
even
a
hint. I mean, you know, they sacked.
Yeah, Jervon Dexter, 4 quarterback hits, another sack, his 4 sacks, most among interior defensive linemen going into the game tonight. Obviously, there's a guy to watch tonight in Kansas City's Chris Jones. He's got 3 sacks so far.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Did you just compare Jervon Dexter to Chris Jones?
He's a lot younger.
No. But you know who?
I think you
did. You know who did it is his college position coach at Florida, the guy that was there that when Jervon was recruited to the Gators and got there, had previously coached at Mississippi State when Chris Jones was with the Bulldogs. So he talked about the similarities in them being bigger guys, tall, with really athletic feet and the ability to move. Now, Chris Jones, I think he was either a second or an early third round pick when Kansas City got him. It takes a little while to develop. No, Jervon's not there yet, but I'll tell you what, I did a story on him for Sunday, guys, and talked to him for a while. One of the questions I asked him is, I said, you know, coming into the season, did you have a goal in mind in terms of production? And some guys, most guys all do, right? And sure, some of them aren't comfortable sharing it, which I get it. And he was real candid. He said, yeah, 8 sacks was my goal, and that's still my goal. He had 2.5 last year. Well, he's halfway there right now with 12 regular season games to go. So he is quickly developing into that guy that Bears projected when they used the second round pick on him because of the size, strength, and athletic ability. It takes a while to put that together at the NFL level, but he's coming on pretty quickly.
Second round pick from the Ravens, along with the 5th round pick that became Noah Sewell in the trade of Roquan Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So
right. So you stack up, you know,
celebrated his birthday
Saturday. Tremaine Edmonds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And David mentioned 23, still a young man.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's just kind of scratching the surface right now, and you can see them. What maybe most impressive about the front is how they're playing in concert together. Right, they are working well off of each other. Whether you know, and you're seeing much more production than you got in a 5-game span probably a year ago from DeMarcus Walker. Andrew Billings has turned into a better pass rusher than I think anyone would have imagined. Daryl Taylor's making a difference. Of course, Montez Sweat affects the game. You know, almost every play he's on the field in terms of at least commanding attention from the opposing offense. So, and then Austin Booker, the rookie 5th-round pick, gets a little run at the end of the game, gets his first NFL sack. You can never have enough guys that can rush the quarterback, and they've been doing a really good – I mean, it's night and day compared to where they were at this time last season when, you know, they couldn't buy a get quarterback pressure.
Thank you, Big Z. Great catching up. Have a safe flight, brother.
Safe travels, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He's the football man from the Chicago Tribune. A lot of good points there.
Yeah, good stuff on the pass rush. Good content.
I love that he brought up the Roquan thing.
You brought it up.
And then you immediately...
You brought it up.
Then you immediately start talking about birthdays.
I wanted you to remember that it was his 23rd birthday on Saturday. And he celebrated on Sunday.
You're obsessed with birthdays and half birthdays and all that nonsense.
Okay.
Oh, one of us is. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Panthers must cross midfield, get to the Bears 49 for a first down. Dalton wrapped up. Down he goes. Back at the 34. Dexter and Walker take down Dalton, and the Panthers will punt it away.
Winning my one-on-ones and then capitalizing on them. And then as well, just getting off the ball and able to acknowledge what's a run set, what's a pass set. So being able to do that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That's Jervon Dexter.
Yes.
We don't hear from him much.
We don't.
And he's playing well.
Why is that? Why don't we hear from him more?
I don't know. I think because he's a young lad and he just turned 23 on Saturday, David.
And maybe so. It was his birthday?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Why did I lie?
You're surprising me with this information.
I
didn't know that.
I believe it's the 5th.
So good to hear from Jervon Dexter. He definitely is somebody who has made an impact and come through on the pressure. I heard some rumblings also that he was referring to, or he has mentioned or referenced the fact that he works in a town that a lot of football conversation, some of it has revolved around the fact that Bears didn't get Jalen Carter and they ended up with Jervon Dexter. And maybe he wants to live up to those kinds of expectations. Jalen Carter passed over by the Bears. Darnell Wright taken instead. The Eagles end up with Jalen Carter. Jervon Dexter really, though, emerging as a pretty good player in the middle of that Bears defense, and it's good to see that happen because you need a three technique defensive tackle that can be impactful and disruptive, and he has been both.
Yeah, it's good to see him getting better. You know, Carter is an interesting one. You always keep an eye on that just because they did have that possibility. You know, he had a lot of problems at Georgia, and he was involved in some speeding and racing, and, you know, a couple people died in an accident where he was racing with them. And I think that that whole thing sort of impacted his combine. He had to leave and get some legal stuff straightened out. And I believe he was considered maybe as good a player as there was in the draft.
No doubt about it.
There were rumors he might be the first overall pick, but this character concern
– yep.
came into play, and then he ended up falling, and the Bears made a trade, and they ended up with the pick where they could have taken him, and they instead traded that pick to the Philadelphia Eagles, and Philadelphia took him. The Bears took Darnell Wright and then used the
yep.
pick they got from Philly to bring in the wide receiver Keenan Allen.
Not a bad choice. Not a bad decision. Not a bad pivot. Okay, let me ask you a couple questions. Moving on to something else. When you saw the San Francisco 49ers lose their kicker, Jake Moody, to a high ankle sprain, he's going to be out several weeks. Did you think of anything specifically like I did?
No. What did you think of?
I wondered, how old is Robbie Gould? That's what I thought of.
What about the Marquee Network?
What about
his high school team?
Rolling Meadows. I wondered what
how
the record was.
Yeah.
I wondered how old Robbie Gould was. Because isn't Jake Moody the guy that basically they turned to when Robbie Gould retired? Mm-hmm. And how old do you have to be to be?
When do you have to retire?
Yeah,
Robbie's never missed a kick.
I know. I just wondered
in the playoffs, right?
And the secondary question to that was, what's happened to the 49ers?
Well, the 49ers are a beaten and battered team. They are really, really beaten up. They have lost a ton of really good players for multiple week injuries. You know,
it's catching up with them.
Christian McCaffrey. I mean, you go down the list, it's like an all-star team, that a Pro Bowl team that they are missing. So they've been trying to play without a lot of guys. It was interesting to see the end of the game where you thought, oh, okay, here's Brock Purdy. He's got Kittle. No, that's
no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
That was too
bad. It's such a different role for them to be in.
What's amazing
to me, a team that looks vulnerable.
Is they're a beaten up team and they got a lot of stars out?
Yes.
And you could say the same thing about Kansas City.
You could.
But Kansas City has yet to lose.
Because they have a quarterback that won't let them. That's a big part of it. No disrespect to Brock Purdy. You know I love Mr. Irrelevant, but I think you want a quarterback that's maybe a little bit more relevant in situations when you lose half your roster. The other thing that I think is interesting, I wondered if you heard what Howie Long had to say pregame about the Bears' offensive coordinator conundrum, or at least before the game, it seemed like a bigger conundrum than it does after the game. Howie Long on Fox's pregame show on Sunday morning.
And that kind of includes the coach who's the offensive coordinator in Washington, Howie, Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah, you got fired in Arizona, you know, explosive offense, the air raid offense, and, you know, maybe sometimes the relationship with the quarterback was a little bit explosive, too. That's not the case with the Commanders. Certainly, he's in the Raiders building. They don't sign him, or they think they sign him, but it turns out they're not signing him. He's in Chicago's building, and that's the one that really, because Kingsbury, in his off time after the Cardinals, spent time at USC, and he knows Caleb Williams. He's been there, worked with him. I'm surprised they didn't hire him, and I think if they did, we'd be having a totally different conversation about the Chicago Bears and Caleb Williams right now. He's come into Washington. He's taken that air raid offense. He's adapted to what this young quarterback, Jaden Daniels, likes to do. He's making the simple throws. He's giving him good options. The kid needs to make big plays, and he has made big plays. It's a great story.
Hmm. Interesting. What's your reaction?
Well, we kind of talked about that while it was ongoing, didn't we? We talked about Cliff Kingsbury, and they kind of implied that they were only doing sort of informational interviewing with him, that they weren't really in. I think, David, you know, I've thought about this quite a bit. I think this may be a situation where they were uncomfortable with that open an offense, given the way they like to play defense, the way that they like to win football games. I'm not sure Cliff Kingsbury was a good match with Matt Eberflus. I guess it's would it be working that way had he been here? Well, then they made a mistake. But I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I got to see how the season turns out. Well, I got to see how everybody ends up playing and how they survive. That's why
I thought it was something that stood out to me. You got Howie Long, highly respected analyst, in a studio who understands how long an NFL season is.
Mm-hmm.
And also realizes that when he says something, it will
resonate.
It'll resonate and it'll be amplified in football cities like ours.
Yep.
And five games into the season, he's basically wondering if Cliff Kingsbury would have been a better choice. And it's one thing for fans to look at what they're doing in Washington and wonder about the quarterback choice and the offensive coordinator choice. But rarely do you see somebody like in that role question openly whether or not they hired the right guy, especially after such a short period of time, a first month of the season. This was before yesterday, which I think that after the game, you feel a little bit better. We don't want to get carried away. Bigsy is right. It's only one game. It's a small sample size. Yep. Not all has been fixed or solved, but you do feel better about the message that seems to be getting through to Shane Waldron and the message he's communicating to his team. This is an offense that is improving. And a lot of it is because of the way that they're calling the games.
I would wonder if there's a difference between the right coordinator for the quarterback or the right coordinator for the head coach. I think that the Bears probably hired the guy they were most comfortable with. And that, I'm talking about Eberflus.
That's interesting because I think you're right. And I don't think that's necessarily the way every team in a franchise would do it.
I totally agree with that.
I almost believe that the Bears would be in the minority there. Would be one of the few teams or franchises or organizations that would hire an assistant coach or a coordinator that is more compatible with the head coach rather than being a good fit for the quarterback they have yet to draft. But they kind of knew at the time who it was going to be.
Yeah, they knew from day
so
one.
So that, to me, I need to think about what that says, is if that's short-sighted or smart.
I don't know the answer to that because it's still early in the Bear season, and we don't know where this is going to turn up, where it's going to end up.
But we don't know where it's going to turn up, but we have seen that compatibility between Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron already, I think, kind of come to the forefront in the way that Matt Eberflus defended Shane Waldron, didn't overreact to anything that we're aware of, and basically things have changed. The last 2 weeks have been better. That 52 pass performance in Indianapolis was deemed unacceptable by everybody. And things are evolving. That's an interesting distinction.
There is another theory that when you're in the NFL, there is always this idea, don't hire your replacement.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy was a former head coach, popular offensive scheme. He comes into Chicago and he's working with the quarterback, and then who becomes the more important coach?
It speaks to the compatibility.
Yeah.
You're not very compatible with somebody if you're fearing that he's going to replace you.
And I'm not claiming that he fears that.
No.
I'm merely saying that they allowed the coach to hire his coordinator, and he did. And he hired a guy who is clearly a coordinator. I think the one thing we've learned about Shane Waldron is he's a little nervous or hesitant in front of the room. And I don't know. I haven't seen him with the offensive players in his area of expertise, but I've seen him talk to the media, and he doesn't look like head
coach. It's not considered his strength.
Yeah.
And whereas a guy like Kingsbury is very good and polished at that.
Oh, my God. I just want to see him in an architectural magazine.
I want to see him on the big screen.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling can play him in the movie. I mean, that's what we're talking about.
I mean, that's what we're saying. And David, like, does that mean they didn't hire the best guy? Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
We're going to have to watch it unfold.
I think it's premature. The point of this whole playing Howie Long was, I think that as much respect as I have for him, it's a little early to conclude anything.
Hang on to that sound because we're going to need it the week after the bye when they play Washington.
Yes.
We're keep jumping ahead of our storylines. Now we got to get to the
Bears can't do that.
Yeah,
Bears can't do that. They need to get through customs.
That's right.
Get reacclimated. Over the jet lag.
Do you think don't they go through customs before they get on the plane? If they're
yeah,
the Bears?
Probably so.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they just land.
Okay, I just was kind of
because they do have like the TSA guys that go to the
they figured out. It's like when you board a plane in Dublin.
They have the players come into the media room. Do you remember this story?
Yes.
So John Mullen Moon, he had a bunch of clothes that he kept under the desk because he would ride his bike to practice. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do remember this.
And they came and they were, doing a clear out of the room before they brought the players in, and they found these clothes. And they were like, what's this?
What's
and they threw it out. And then Moon shows up at work expecting to have his clothes.
And he's got no clothes.
And he thought Biggs threw him out. He just suspected it was Biggs.
Of course.
Because who else would do it?
Who else would be that bold?
Which is hysterical. And then Biggs was like, whoa. He did one of his like, whoa. Oh, good God. Hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
Miss Moon.
But anyway, yeah, Moon's great. He was the best. Okay, we've got to get to Marshall and Dan.
Yes.
How about that?
They're back.
It is the Bernstein and Harris show next, and we'll talk to him. Mully and Hall on the score.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event.
It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.